God, you have made everything suitable for its time. God, claim this time. This time of hearing and speaking your word. May it be your words and not my own. God, speak through me or in spite of me. Amen. I have to tell you a little something about my house, which I don't know if this is true for everyone. But in my house, there is a clock in every single room. If you know me very well, you probably aren't surprised by this, that wherever I am in my house, I want to know what time it is. And I check the clocks constantly. Is it time that I have to get up? Is it time to go? Is it time to eat? Is it time to take the dog out? My calendar is full and my days are usually packed, and so the first thing I hang in every room is a clock, because I need that clock there. All throughout the day, the clock is the benchmark for me, the measure of progress, the marker of whether I am succeeding or failing at my schedule. But there is a difference, I think, between my clock and time obsession and the kind of time that the writer of Ecclesiastes is talking about in today's scripture reading. It's the difference between two words in the Greek, chronos and kairos. Chronos is chronological time, the kind to be sure that I am obsessed with, the tick-ticking away. Whereas kairos is the word for God's time, the kind of time that has profound meaning. It's kairos, God's time, I think, that the writer of Ecclesiastes is talking about in today's scripture passage. Not just the kind of time that is ticking away until midnight, but the time which is appointed by God in accordance with his redemptive purposes. Kairos time. Not simply time in the sense of it's time to do the dishes, I suppose, but time in a deep, abiding way. The kind of time that I believe God holds lovingly in the palms of his hand, lovingly shaping it according to God's redemptive purposes. Chronos versus Kairos, our time versus God's time, chronological ticking away time versus time with a purpose. So as I pondered this and as I read this scripture, and when I read that there is a time for every matter under heaven, I am forced to see that this scripture is not just about some really creative scheduling. This is not simply a scripture about finding time for every activity. You know, a time for love at 9 a.m. on Monday and a time for hate at 3 p.m. on Thursday. A time to weep at 2 on Tuesday, a time to laugh at 9 on Saturday. No, this is not about our schedule. The writer of Ecclesiastes here is talking about Kairos time, God's time. Because it's not about our schedule, our plan, but it's about God, the one who has designed a bigger cosmic plan, the cosmic schedule of sorts, if you think in those terms. The writer of Ecclesiastes is not telling us that we ought to have balance of all these things in our life, equal parts war to equal parts peace, equal parts hate to equal parts love. No, the writer of Ecclesiastes is looking at the real world that already contains war and peace, that already contains love and hate. And the writer is reflecting on the ways in which God is underneath it all. For only God, in the end, knows why existence is set up the way that it is. Friends, this God, the God who made the universe, the God who formed you in your mother's womb, this is the same God who designed every time, every season of the year, and every rhythm of life. This God, the God who became flesh at Christmas and walked among us, this is the same God who makes space and breadth for the whole expanse of human experience, for weeping and laughing, for mourning and dancing, for loving and for hating. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. So in this New Year's morning, the question is this: what time is it in your life? This morning on my way to church, I listened to my daily devotional podcast. And I think God must have had me in mind when God led the people who made this podcast, because this morning's scripture reading was from Galatians 4, a passage that reflects upon the birth of Christ. And this passage says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." Did you catch that first phrase? When the fullness of time had come. It struck me this morning, enough that I had to bring it in this morning, because as we sit in the light of Christmas today, we see that God did not just send Jesus at any old time. God sent Jesus in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, when the Kairos was right. And so this morning, as I ask you, what time is it? I wonder, too, is there something in your life for which the fullness of time has come? What time is it? Now, I know you all well enough to know there's some smart aleck in the congregation who will tell me what time it is. I don't have a watch on. What time is it? It's 10:23. So, right now, we know, right, it is January 1st, 2017, 10:23 a.m. It's New Year's Day all over the world, and right here, it is 10:23 in the morning. And so this is the moment around the world in which everybody's waking up and saying, what is your New Year's resolution? What is your commitment that you're going to keep or maybe break in the new year? The story of the morning today is looking back on the roller coaster year of 2016 and looking forward to the new year of 2017. But as we gather to worship this morning, as we linger in this place, we are caught up in a different and bigger story. We're caught up in the story of God with us, Emmanuel. We're caught up in the story that God has been weaving since the dawn of time, the story in which God is always working underneath the surface to bring about healing and love. And so as we gather to worship Jesus this morning, we do not simply look back to 2016 or look forward to 2017. No, with the people of Israel, we look all the way back to creation in thanks for all that God has done. And with the early church, we look all the way forward to the new Jerusalem. And with the disciples, we stand in awe as we hear Jesus once again say, "The kingdom of God is now and here." That's what time it is. Now is the moment of our salvation, Jesus says. That is what time it is. I'm sure that many of us will make resolutions in this new year, and that is a wonderful thing to do. But for us who believe, the first question is not what we will do in the new year. The first question is, what is God doing in this new year? On God's watch, what time is it? And then the follow-up question is this: will you embrace God's time? In a moment, I'm going to invite you to join me in a liturgy from John Wesley, the father of the Methodist Church. This liturgy is a way of renewing our commitment to God, renewing our promise to follow God as we enter into the new year. And when we do that, you're going to be invited to come forward and kneel for this recommitment prayer or to remain in your pew as you feel led. And then after we renew our covenant, I'm going to invite Nicola and Katie to come up again and share a song with us called The Summons. The beautiful words of this song are a poem imagining God speaking to us, inviting us to follow Jesus. And so as Katie sings, I'm going to invite you to consider, what time is it in your life? What is God doing in this new year? Maybe it's time to plant, or maybe it's time to pluck up what is planted. Maybe it's time to let go of something that has long since died in your life, or maybe it is time to embrace something that is calling your name. Maybe it's time for mourning, or maybe it's time for dancing. Whatever it is that God is putting on your heart, it's time. And so as Katie sings today, I invite you to take a moment with that index card that the ushers gave you to write down what you are hearing from God. You'll be invited during that time to write down what time it is in your life. And if you need inspiration, I invite you to turn to Ecclesiastes 3 and see what the scripture puts forth. After this time of reflection, you'll be invited to place your cards in the offering plate as a sign of how we are offering all of this time to God, embracing God's time. And so this morning, you don't have to write your name on the card. These cards will simply be dedicated and prayed over by staff this week. We won't pin them up. We won't show them anywhere. This is your invitation, though, to reflect on what time it is in God's time. Friends, Christ is here. The fullness of time has come. So let us recommit ourselves to Christ, because it's time. Amen.